I did hear a story. I don't know whether it's true, but I'll give it to you anyway. A certain Prime Minister of Australia, Prime Minister Howard, it won't matter that I mention his name, he went to open a nursing home in North Sydney, and the entourage arrived, but he just walked in on his own, and he went up to the reception desk at the nursing home, and the woman there didn't even lift her eyes. And then he went over and said, "Excuse me, do you know who I am?" And she said, looked up and said, "No, sir, but if you go to the next counter, they'll be able to tell you." I was trying to think of something that lightens up the conversation when it comes to names, and that's a little bit about what tonight is about and the readings this weekend. It's probably more about a title and what happens with that title than a name. Names in 2023 are very confusing. I have gone through such a change in my 38 years as a priest. Once upon a time, people would come to the parish to book in having their child baptised, and we would just fill out the bit of paperwork. Now I've had to include on the paperwork when somebody books a child in to be baptised what the gender of the child is, because you can't tell by the name. Some of you will have grandchildren here who you probably questioned, why on earth did my son or daughter call their kid that name? But you can't say anything. You'd be the worst in the world. And then, of course, it might be a relatively common name, but they want to spell it differently. I believe Elon Musk has called one of his kids something like ABCDE or something bizarre like that. And he's, one of the wealthiest people in the world. That doesn't mean you've got a lot of intelligence. It just means you've got a lot of money. So names are a bit of a challenge at times. When we come to look at Jesus and the name of Jesus and the title of Jesus, there are 198 different names and titles for Jesus in Scripture. 198. Now, some of the names and the titles, they get intermingled. But today, we have Jesus saying to his disciples, to his hand-picked 12, they've been with him some time now, and he's saying to them, who do people say I am? He doesn't say, what name do people call me? He says, who do people say I am? So it's really more about the title. Who is he? Now, they come back with... it's kind of like the survey answer. Well, we've heard that people call you John the Baptist, who's come back to life, some Jeremiah, some Elijah, or at least you're one of the prophets. So they can't kind of nail it, excuse the pun, but they drag in a little bit of what the common goss might be on the street about who Jesus is. So Jesus then takes it away from the street talk, and he brings it down specifically to the 12. And I'm probably sure that he's eyeballing them. And he's saying to them, and this is where we need to plug in tonight, who do you say I am? And there's only one person that answers of the 12, one of them. Who do you say I am? And it is Peter who answers there with those very famous words, you are the Christ. And then he goes on, Son of the living God. Jesus refers to himself, who do people say the Son of Man is? That's right at the beginning of the Gospel. So Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man title is used in Scripture 80 times, and the only person that ever says it is Jesus himself. Peter, nobody else, describes Jesus as the Son of Man. Peter calls him, you are the Christ. Christ comes from the Greek word for Messiah, which means you are the anointed one. And then he goes on, as I said, Son of the living God. The title, Son of Man, has two dimensions to it. It refers to, from the book chapter 7 of Daniel, it refers to being both divine and both human. That the two come together. divine and human. And Peter recognises that. He's the only one that recognises that. So perhaps this conversation is not so much about what other people are saying, but the spotlight is put squarely on Peter, because he has what I'm going to call, he's the only one that has the charism to recognise who Jesus is. The rest were discovering their gifts, their charisms perhaps, but Peter's floated straight to the top at that time. He probably went through the, is this a trick question or something that Jesus is asking? But then he put the name aside and went to who the individual is. He moved beyond the title and saw who this person was, both divine and human. He got it. He was the only one. And that's why Jesus then says, you're a happy man, Pete, because it was my Father who revealed this to you. Your charism has been given to you, and now you have opened that up. For the rest of the disciples, and perhaps for some of us here, that has not happened yet. But I would encourage you, particularly in this year of the Holy Spirit, to dig a little deeper and find out what is it in your life that you bring forward where people recognise Jesus in you. We're not just looking at the name. The name Jesus was quite common, actually. It translates from the Hebrew to Joshua originally. And it was only after Jesus' resurrection, after he was witnessed at his resurrection, that he became known as Jesus the Christ. His name before that was Jesus, son of Joseph. That was the norm. You were named after your father, son of, or he was also known as Jesus of Nazareth. So you were known from the place where you came from. We hear later the title, son of Joseph and Mary of Nazareth. The two come together. But Peter has gone beyond all of that because he has some spark in him that has been ignited, where the others, it may well be curiosity, or it might be a case of, and perhaps this is where we fit into the crowd sometimes, that we just follow the crowd. They're on a road to discovery. And I would hope that by our stage of life that we are not so much on a road to discovery, we are on a road to giving what it is that we have discovered about Jesus in our own life. It means, therefore, that we become living witnesses. He is the Son of the living God, which means the God that is truly and always present. As we will say in a moment after the elevation, I'll say, through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour is yours forever and ever. And that revelation only happens after the consecration. The revelation of Jesus as the anointed one only happens after his resurrection. He's known in Scripture then as Jesus the Christ. We translate that into Christ Jesus sometimes. So when we include the name of Jesus and his title in our prayer, we are appealing directly to him, because something in us allows us to acknowledge who he is as both God and man. And do you think that that's important? Well, it is important, because it is our humanity that draws us to Jesus to plead with him in our prayer. Because he is man, he has that, shares our humanity, he understands what it is that we are going through. He has gone through it to some degree and more in his own life. And because he is a son of man, his divinity takes our humanness to his Father in heaven. That's what we mean by through him, with him, and in him. Peter saw that. At this time, I would just encourage each and every one of you in your own life to, as I said before, to dig deep to find out in your life how you not only name Jesus, what do you do with that name? That's why blasphemy, using the name of the Lord, is such an horrendous sin, because it disgraces who Jesus is in his divinity and his humanity. There's no place for it. It is belittling to the Son of Man. It is belittling to us as human beings. So there's no place for blasphemy. And it's a shame, isn't it, that on our television and in our society, particularly at the moment, that people say it all the time and there's not a blink of an eyelid about it. But if you take the word Muhammad and say it inappropriately, you will be sued, if not have something worse happen to you. So somewhere along the line in our society, we have forgotten the name of Jesus and we have forgotten his title and we've let him become less than ordinary. Our task is to bring back the extraordinary. Our task is to make the living Son of God alive and active in our lives so that the world can say, I know who Jesus is. At the moment, so much of the world don't know who Jesus is, let alone what he does. The only witness that they will have is probably you and I in our sphere of influence. So I do strongly encourage you to take seriously the name of Jesus and to take very seriously and apply into your life who he is and what he is for us. Will the world ever know that we are even Christian? Will they ever know that by the things that we say and the things that we do?